This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast as we are talking about the offseason outlook for all of these teams who are finally finished, including the last two. We'll talk about those another day, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about middle of the pack teams, teams that either just made the play-in and missed out, maybe one made the playoffs, and then some that didn't at all, like my Pelicans. Ugh. Adam Murray Coase, how are you doing?
Yep, just cranking along, more off season.
Right.
Let's move into it.
Yes. Let's just start with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This team just, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an awesome player. He's all NBA. He should have been. He probably should have been all NBA the year before. But the fact that he made the play-in was still a surprise.
Yeah.
We thought they were going to be terrible.
But they all sort of overachieved and really hitting on the Jalen Williams pick. One of the two Jalen Williamses.
Jalen from UC Santa Barbara, I believe. Like, that was a good pick. Like, he was, I think he was Rookie of the Month in the West twice, you know?
Yeah, and then he's now a starting fixture and he's completely overachieved. And
he's also a big body. Like, he looks like a wing. Like, he doesn't look like a guard who just floats to the three. He plays, he looks like he could body people up, you know? Lugans Dort had good moments. Josh Giddey is much better than I thought he was. I'll just put it that way.
Josh Giddey is a jack of all trades player, and
17 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, or 8 rebounds and 6 assists. That's
yeah, really doing good. A little bit of everything, and just
and UC, amazing.
UC yeah. Santa Barbara.
Where was he from?
The Steve Nash University.
Is that where he's from?
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara, whatever. I actually think Gabe Vincent of the NBA Finals Miami Heat played in UC Santa Barbara.
Yes, like, he is the UC Santa Barbara, which are they the
Gauchos? Why are we talking about this? We should be talking about the freaking Thunder. But
okay, Thunder, they gave Lu Dort that Lu Dort money. Dort proceeded
But he's not like Albatross Lu Dort contract. Like, he actually was good. He was a good three.
He was good, but he thinks his usage is higher than it should be.
Yeah, he shot 39% from the field. That's
he shot a lot. Yeah. You had no Chet Holmgren, so he's gonna be your.
They got Isaiah Joe out of the table scraps, and he wound up being a good 3-point shooter for them. You know.
Yeah. So where does this team sort of go now? As
they could go a lot of places. Like, they're like, even though their max was just missing the playoffs by getting blown out in the last game by the Wolves, like, because of the draft picks, because of the people that are associated with those picks that are connected to them, they can really go a lot of places. If I'm remembering correctly with the Thunder, they don't really have a lot of movement in terms of, like, they can't do a lot. Like, they got the 12th pick, but then it's 37 and 50. So it's not like they can do much. And their only free agent really is a guy that they picked up on a dump, Dario Saric.
That was what I was going to say, is they have a lot of people under contract, so they're not correct. The salary dumping ground.
And they're not going to cut Jeremiah Robinson Earl. They're going to keep him. That's a minimum deal. Right.
So you can't really do much. So you kind of have to, I think, start forging an identity going forward now, as opposed to just, let's get the lottery picks. Let's get do what we
if
can.
If there's one guy I can see getting moved because someone will be intrigued, and I don't think he has much of a ceiling there, is Pokuševski. That's one where I can see him getting moved.
I mean, yeah, Pokuševski, yeah, Osman Deng, who they traded up for as
they
well.
They barely played him until the end of the season, right?
Yeah, and like I said, you have Jalen Williams, who comes in and steals a spot from these two guys. You got that Lu Dort money. You need to play him.
And even if you have a break glass, even if you need a break glass in case of emergency point guard, even though he's not an efficient player, Trey Mann can come in and play a little bit, you know? The team's got potential. It's a lot of nameless people. Even Kenrich Williams at the time, no one really knew who he was. But really, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is just a fantastic NBA superstar player. Like, he lives at the free throw line. He lives on the mid-range. He's just a tough cover.
it's the point they have to start getting another named player next to him, I think, really sooner than later.
Maybe. That, I mean, Giddy might become that, but it's too early to tell, you know.
All right, moving on to Atlanta.
Yes.
Kind of a dumpster fire.
Well, the thing is, like, a lot of their drama actually happened midseason. The difference is when they fired their coach and they put in Nate McMillan, they went to the conference finals and they decided to dip in and keep that nucleus. Now they got rid of McMillan. They bring in on long-term money and with some power in place, Quinn Snyder. They were competitive against the Celtics in the first round. They did beat the Heat. Let's keep reminding people. They almost took the Heat out before the playoffs even started, you know, before all that. But the thing is, like, DeJounte Murray did fit well with Trae Young. Trae Young did not, in my opinion, seem to, like, take a step up. Would you say that?
That's why. Did he fit well? That's why I see it as not fitting well due to Trae Young kind of not accelerating yet again.
I mean, he averaged 10 assists a game. Talking about Trae Young, but that's what he does. He's like a assist gobbler, you know?
It could just be, I think the team was just the definition of mediocre.
They could not move John Collins to save their life. They tried. They tried 100 times. They couldn't make it happen.
They tried, but it was like they didn't really like anybody. And okay, so here's the thing. You gave a lot of picks to get DeJounte. So yes. He has to get paid.
And, by the way, this is on small money because it's $18 million and that's the last, this coming season is the last season of that contract. Because
they signed him when he was out with an injury and.
Yes. You talk about the Spurs. Yeah. It was in 2020. And then he became what he became in San Antonio. And then he got traded for the picks. Bogdan got a new deal. DeAndre Hunter got a new deal. I really like DeAndre Hunter, so I actually did not mind that contract that he signed. 4 years for around like 90 or something like that.
And then you got Sadiq Bey, who has 1 year left on his rookie deal. And
this is an audition. This is going to be one of those things where like Sadiq Bey is going to show how good he is in this upcoming season, and maybe he rests on his laurels after that. But you might get some good. What I'm trying to say is you might get really good production out of him next season.
So the final question. Which I was sort of alluding to. Can you justify paying Murray and Trae Young that much money for people essentially the same position?
If Murray's salary bumps up to $30 million, no. Because now you're in the tax. And they've already dipped into tax before to try to keep the team that went to the 2021 Eastern Finals. And it didn't really pan out for them. You know, so in my eyes, like, this season, there's a little bit of urgency. I think that this is going to be a season where Trey's got to really play good, selfless basketball. He's going to be able to average 25 or 30 points a game, but he's just going to have to be able to distribute better.
It was always Trey over the coaches. Now is it going to be, are we going to get rid of Quinn Snyder now because of Trey?
It can't happen because Snyder got a long-term contract, which was part of the deal why they signed him to that contract in February or March or whatever it was.
And they also got rid of their GM or their
Travis Schlenk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who didn't like the Murray trade, and Landry Fields is now it. So
on the bottom part, it's hard to say. Like, you know, Okongwu's got moments. He's a big body. Jalen Johnson, it's hard to say. AJ Griffin did have some moments as a rookie where he looked like a strong body.
Yeah, but Okongwu, he was the number six pick.
Yes, he was.
You need more than just at this stage.
He's not good enough to replace Capella in the starting lineup. He's done.
That's
he's
the problem is.
Yeah.
You need more from that. So speaking of needing more, we're going to move on. So I guess, okay, I will give you 90 seconds. This is your Pelicans monologue time.
Oh, it looked good to start. You know, they had at one point the best record in the West going into December. Zion was healthy. Their offensive lineups were fantastic. Brandon Ingram was healthy. Then the wheels just kind of fell off where, you know, Zion realized he wasn't going to be able to meet the criteria for the amount of games played. And he basically sulked it and he didn't want to play. He probably was cleared to play in the play-in game against Oklahoma City and he still didn't play, which really like irked me and a lot of other fans. Ingram is fantastic. He's just that kind of person where if he's not 100% healthy, he's not going to play. McCollum is a great leader. He had some great regular season moments, But there were some things now it may have been the injury that he disclosed that he had at the end, but he looked really bad in the last couple of games when we really needed him to play well. So I really hope the wheels aren't falling off for McCollum because he's not a spring chicken.
You're going to cede your last 30 seconds?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. It's really hard when this entire team is made of glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But is it safe to say everyone else completely overachieved trying to compensate in the fact that they made this without all their superstars for all those games?
I don't think they overachieved. Jackson Hayes, goodbye. I don't even think they're going to give him a qualifying offer, to be honest. They did get great production out of Trey Murphy III and Herb Jones. Like, they have a future with those two. But the Josh Richardson rental didn't really do much. I don't think they're going to keep him. Kyra Lewis, bad pick. Larry Nance Jr. had injuries. Dyson Daniels had also had injuries. Like, I think they could have been better than what they were.
So
I think they could have maxed it out.
With that said, it's kind of hard for them to stand pat and try to run it back for one more year, or is it really easy for them to do that, considering
they have to? The two things that they are going to be able to skirt that will make it easier for them to fit in better players in the offseason is that even though McCollum has a new deal kicking in, so to keep him sort of at that $30 to $35 million range, Ingram is not supermax eligible this year because he didn't make all NBA, even though he was a really good player. He averaged 25 points and 5.5 rebounds and 6 assists. He's an excellent player. He's an all-star level player, but he wasn't all NBA. He just missed too many games. He only played 45 games. Zion Williamson did not get rookie supermax like Luka Doncic and Trae Young did. So that gives you just a little bit more money to play with.
Or they need to trade away their health staff and get a better.
They've said that every time. We've said that every time with the New Orleans franchise. They just always are cursed with these injuries. Valanciunas, good player. I can actually see him getting another deal. Because this one coming up, like a 3 year or 2 year. Mm-hmm. I think they like the nucleus of Ingram and McCollum and Williamson and Valanciunas, and they need to like the McCollum, Williamson, Ingram one because they're not moving them.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. Moving on next, we got Chicago.
You know, they almost beat the Miami Heat. I always say that, the Miami Heat struggled in that play-in, and then all of a sudden, they turned it on. I'm not trying to, pump up the teams that almost took them out, but, the Bulls didn't look bad at times. I think they looked good when Zach LaVine was productive and playing really well, hitting threes. He averaged 25 points a game. You know, LaVine is a really good player. You know, he got his max contract, and I feel like he's living up to it. The thing is, though, that some people just think that he might be on the move. I don't see that. I can see DeMar DeRozan on the move on his last year of his contract.
So I agree with you, but they paid a lot of money to be this bad.
Mm-hmm. And Nikola Vucevic, you did not get the extension on him.
I'll get to that. It's really hard when you pay a ton of money and then you pay a ton of money for your third best player to not be on the court at all for the year Lonzo and possibly
Ball. It sucks,
next
man.
Year.
Because he's a good player, man. He looked good when he started with the Chicago Bulls. You know,
and then Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu is not the answer.
Kobe White's a weird situation because he was productive at times. He had some moments in those two play-in games where he looked good, but he's a restricted free agent.
I think MLE.
Maybe he'll see himself as a playoff contender MLE guy, but or an MLE to stay with them. Chicago.
I think an MLE can Chicago could keep him, but Dosunmu didn't take. He almost kind of regressed. The Vucevic trade just looks really bad on all fronts, right? You gave your picks to Orlando. You gave
Didn't get to keep it. You didn't
Wendell. You gave Wendell Carter, and he's doing good there now. And now you kind of have to pay Vucevic to keep him to not make it look this extra bad, right?
Correct. I think they're going to have, I think this is one of those ones where they're going to try to negotiate an extension before July.
Like you just have to give him a 3-year deal now, like, just to try to save face. Like,
has a lot of leverage. He also was one of the Iron Men of the league. He didn't miss a game. He played 82 games, 17 points and 11 rebounds. So defensively, he stinks. He absolutely stinks. Everyone saw that clip where Patrick Beverley, who had gotten picked up in the middle, like late in the season, he was like yelling at Vucevic because he wasn't in the right defensive position. Like, he's not a good defensive player. He's not, but he's a really good offensive player.
So with that said, they kind of have to go like crazy, like DeRozan for the number 3 pick and Simons, right?
Scoot
Henderson.
I just see, because of the fact that he had a productive second year on his deal, that DeRozan will be used as a carrot. Like, they're going to see what they can get.
Like, they have to do something. They're just too expensive, and there's
And the ball one, you're stuck. There's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is get the hardship waiver. That's all.
Exactly. So, are you kind of surprised Donovan made the cut as a coach? He didn't get axed?
I almost thought for sure. I said it throughout our podcast during the season. I thought for sure Billy Donovan was getting fired. I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe because Karnisovas believes in him and wanted to give him, like, the dreaded vote of confidence. But I don't know. Maybe, excuse me. Maybe the buyout was just a little too much. That's
just
all I can
get one more year on it. Right. Hopefully he turns it around.
Right.
Oh, on the dumpster fire train continuing, Minnesota. Just the definition.
They made the playoffs.
But just shooting yourself in the foot every way you get. You have players punching other players. You have players punching walls.
Walls punching players, you know.
I get it. This team did what they could.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Rudy Gobert trade where they traded all those picks to Utah.
But they did what they did without Towns for most of the year, and everything was supposed to be around him. Now we know it's not Towns' team, it's Edwards' team.
Pretty much. Here's the problem. Karl Anthony Towns negotiated a veteran supermax in the summer last year. So you got him kicked in at $50 million plus per year starting in 2024. So this is actually this is 2 years. Year one just passed and they got eliminated by the Nuggets in 5 games. Now you got 1 year where you got Towns on his pre-existing contract. Rudy Gobert is on a set contract where he's like making $40 million. Anthony Edwards, then his rookie max kicks in 24, which, Adam, let me be clear, and you said it too, and I agree. If you don't rookie max Anthony Edwards, you're an idiot. Like,
well, they're going to. It's just they correct. Have to figure
he's
out.
He is a freaking dog. He is an awesome freaking player. I love Anthony Edwards. That is a gamer. That is a dude who goes out there and tries to win games.
Like, they'll have money from him because Connolly is going to be expiring. And he was an improvement over Russell.
Yeah, Connolly, and I can see
Russell just never fit. And Connolly, although he's declining, he was still a much better fit.
Anderson was a good fit for them with the MLE. Like, he was good.
But it's just hard to do, to do anything when Towns is gone and then try to forge a chemistry with, like, such a few amount of games.
No. Jaden McDaniels was a nice fit. I know a lot of people laughed at the whole thing where he punched the wall and stuff. But
yeah, but they need money for him, too.
Not yet. The year following.
So that's why this year I think they can stand pat.
They can just non-guarantee Torian Prince. That'll save $7 million. They could do that. Naz Reid, I think they're going to get outbid for him. They might have to get a backup big for Towns.
They will get outbid for him. But again, this year they don't need to go crazy, but they need to think of a long-term plan.
My worry is just Karl Anthony Towns, the playoff. The regular season Karl Towns is awesome. Playoff Karl Towns is trash.
Well, because he does – the playoff Karl Towns has never been around.
He gets in foul trouble the moment he's in the freaking game.
That's why it's
– At least Rudy Gobert can play defense. And in the playoffs, I know people laugh at how he gets stretched out by shooting by people who play five out and stuff, but he is a really good defensive player, and he does make pivotal plays down the stretch of games. You know, He's a great shot blocker. He'll always be a great shot blocker. I think we made the case, or we tried to make the case with each other when we were talking about who would be in the NBA like 100 when they go 25 years down the road. Rudy Gobert might be one of those players. He's really awesome player, you know, but is he a little outdated in terms of the way he plays? Sometimes he does look out of place, but I do think he's an effective player. Is he worth $40 million? I'll acquiesce that one. Yeah, it's hard to say.
But like every aging player, eventually their contracts will be negative value. And
right. So they have another year where they could pull something off.
That's why they got another year.
The margin of error is very small. They've got to get it right.
There's no panic yet, but it should be coming.
Chris Finch needs to be on alert. Like this, he might get yanked midseason if things go sour early.
Yeah, because he hasn't really. Edwards has developed under him. So
right,
as long as Edwards keeps,
I just love that dude. Ant-Man's just a good freaking player, man. That's the dude I wish I had. You know.
Well, you got Zion. All right, moving on to next. More dumpsters. Toronto.
Oh man, who's their coach? I'm losing track now. Who's their coach?
I think they're the last to announce. They're still.
I know Sergio, who I think coached for Spain. I think that way back in the days with Pau Gasol, right?
There are a lot of random finalists. Like Steve Nash wants to be back, and he's like, I can atone for my mistakes. And
oh well, why don't we just get Jay Triano again too? Why don't we just get all of Team Canada, please?
The problem I think. Was they overachieved 2 years ago. So last year they came up with this crazy idea. Let's have positionless basketball.
Yes. And switch all the time. And
no one knew what to do. Scotty Barnes didn't develop. Van Fleet and Siakam, they were good, but not great. And they didn't really do anything.
Siakam's weird, man. Cause like, this is so weird. Like, so it says he played 71 games. It seemed to me like he was out for longer, or he just had some games early on where he just was kind of coasting. And then all of a sudden he just has a month of like January or February where he just lights it up and he's averaging like 25 and 13. And you're like,
but that's what Toronto was. They'd have a good game and then they would just disappear. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, what is this team? But when they did trade for Poeltl and they got a defined
he fit well
position, they got better.
Mm-hmm. Chris Boucher, they signed him to that extension. It was small money. I think they can move him because he just wasn't a good fit. Thaddeus Young, see you later. Otto Porter Jr., just a bad choice to sign him. I mean, he just crapped out, physically crapped out. I don't know what else to say. Maybe he'll bounce back in a contract year.
So they don't have enough money to keep Gary Trent, Jacob Poeltl, and
Scotty Barnes has got a great future. But yeah, that's the problem. Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. both have player options. VanVleet will definitely opt out. I can actually see Trent Jr. opting in, to be honest.
Wow. So, but they have to be really aggressive this year because this is just too mediocre to run it back.
Yeah, like that. This would be the third mediocre year in a row, and I don't know if that's going to be acceptable.
But the first year was overachieving. They were mediocre. Yeah.
Well, you know what? They were bad in 21, good in 22, bad in 23. That would be the third out of four. Like that's not good enough. Like they're going to start getting restless in Toronto because this team, let's try to keep history straight. They won an NBA championship. I know they did with Kawhi Leonard, but they won it. You know, they've seen it. So they know what success looks like. Fred VanVleet, how much do you think he can get? I would say at least $30 million. At the least.
I would say, 30, but.
Like four for 120 or 130.
Yeah, but who's giving it to him?
Oh, there's a few teams that would take him. I mean, this man was an all-star in 2022. I think there's a few teams that would take him.
There's a few teams, but there's the teams with money aren't that many.
I think Orlando would do it.
Wow.
I think Orlando would do it. I think Milwaukee would try to do it. I think they would be willing to trade Jrue Holiday to do it.
Try to get, just let's line up the sign and trade offers.
When these playoff contenders or title contenders, quote unquote, miss out, they'll do anything. They will find anybody not bolted to the wall. And if VanVleet is a player option who opts out and he's open to talking, it's going to be interesting. Like, when VanVleet didn't sign his extension midway through the season, it didn't shock me. I was like, that makes sense. You know, you got to know your value, and he does. Siakam did not get veteran supermax. He is going to be a free agent in 2024, unrestricted. So what do you do here? You just try to ink him up to a veteran max?
I again, they have lots of difficult choices.
Scotty Burns, yep.
Because you need to develop. He needs to take a leap. Mm-hmm. You just can't be that.
Do you sign Poeltl back? Because he was an expiring.
Yes, you have to sign him. You wouldn't trade for him to not bring him back.
Depends on what they gave up. Who did they give up for him?
First round. It's a protected first round next year, I think.
Yeah, and that's the Spurs. You don't want to tank and give it to the Spurs.
Yeah, but again, you wouldn't have done it because he was he's a free agent, so the Spurs wouldn't have kept him anyways.
True, but they had the leverage in that deal. The thing is, you know, the other guys are, you know, Malachi Flynn just hasn't developed. This will be do or die for him coming up. I think they'll keep him. Precious Achiuwa is a decent player. You know, Christian Coloco, he has a future. Big body. So they got positionless players. I don't really think that the coach or whoever they choose really matters in this case. I think it's just a matter of between Siakam, Van Vliet, Anunoby, Trent Jr., and Barnes, can they run that back, or will somebody be missing and somebody else be added? That's going to be the big one. I just think Fred VanVleet definitely has a lot of options in free agency. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, moving on to another curious case. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn, they had high hopes. They got dashed. They managed to salvage.
What a swinging narrative this is. Yeah. So
it was like they took took the long road. Mm-hmm. To be exactly where they were.
Right. It's weird. Like, they had an awful beginning to the season. Awful. And then Steve Nash gets fired. Kyrie Irving gets put on timeout for his Amazon thingy. But then they come back. You know, Kyrie kind of just he just plays. And under Jacques Vaughn, they played so well that Vaughn got an extension in February. They believed in him that much. Then it's hard to say what happened. I think the first domino fell was the Kyrie Irving suspension where he refused to apologize. The big one though was when Kevin Durant got a knee injury, and he was out for like 2 or 3 weeks, and Kyrie Irving just immediately said, "I'm out," and then Durant said, "I'm out too." And they basically unloaded both of them at the same
time. Yeah, and then they both quit on the coach, mm-hmm. and they're both like, "We don't like James Harden." And James Harden's like, "How come nobody's passing me the ball? I'm James Harden. Everything should go through me." And then Ben Simmons just was like, "This is too much drama for me."
You know, I know he is a point of mockery, and in some ways, to be honest, Adam, Ben Simmons deserves it. Because he hasn't been able to live up to his potential, but it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad.
It's sad.
It's not a bad player. 7.6 rebounds and 6 assists isn't bad. You know, it's just not.
Well, because there was no place for him because mm-hmm. it was just like we're already our team is decimated. Okay, you're coming back. Well, what can you give us? I don't know. You guys didn't tell me what to do. Well, we don't know what to do with you either. So,
yes.
It's sort of one of those things, like, yeah, you're right. If his injuries are real, it's sad because his back injury really killed him. Because mm-hmm. you watch old clips of him locking down people.
Well, the problem for him is that he's also a passive. His offensive game is very passive. Maybe he'll fit better when he really gets acclimated with this Brooklyn nucleus that includes Mikal Bridges, who... Man, you didn't have to tell him to start taking shots. and then Cam Johnson, he's a curious case, though, because he's a really good player. He averaged 17 points. He averaged, 2 3-pointers made a game. The thing is, though, he's restricted. I can absolutely see either an offer sheet that gets matched or, yes, like one of those immediate re-signings, yes.
Immediate 4-100 right off the
– More than that.
Right off the bat like and five all day.
5 or something like that. You know, or I don't even know, 500 or 100. I don't know. Whatever.
So that's the thing is they're not in terrible shape.
No, they're not. I think they have a future now. And they have a war chest.
Finney Smith and Royce O'Neal have value. Mm-hmm. So you can flip them. You're either in the tax or you're dangerously close to it now. So
when they re-ink Johnson, yes. And you got a great potential player at center in Nick Claxton.
Yeah. So you're not, you know, so Royce O'Neal can get you, you know, a late first again or something back from him.
What are the Jazz doing? when you said that about Royce O'Neal getting traded from Brian Windhorst. Daron Sharp, good future. Cam Thomas, another guy who loves to take shots, but he can go off.
It's funny, yeah. The only guy to have like 4 40-point games in a row and then just back to DNPs.
I think one guarantee, even though it might be difficult unless they want to be the cog in some sort of three-way, is that Joe Harris will be moved in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but can they...
Or a buyout.
Can they get anything for him? Does he have any value?
No. That's the problem. Like, he didn't really show... I mean, he played 74 games, but he was under 8 points a game. Like, he just wasn't
the player. He was physically there, but he's not... Yeah. Anything anymore.
They can move things around to make it good. Dorian Finney-Smith's a good fit there too. He knows Spencer Dinwiddie really well. I love Spencer Dinwiddie. That's a gamer.
So, okay, now we're moving on to awesome team regular season, completely fell apart in postseason.
Okay.
Cleveland.
Man,
there's not much they can do, right?
Did you know that they were like first in net rating in the league pretty much the entire season? Like when they beat teams, they blew them out because they had a good defense.
Yeah. They like in the regular season, they were extremely good. I mean, it would have been nice to see Mobley step it up a little bit.
He did in the regular season. Then in that playoff series against the Knicks with Mitchell Robinson, he struggled. For some reason.
But I get, you know, you can't take that big of a leap if it becomes Donovan Mitchell's team and you have Garland and Mitchell. So you're really the third option and that's the best you can be.
Yeah, Garland's a very good player. I know he had some struggles in the playoffs too. I think all the Cleveland players did. But like they, you know, Garland's an excellent player. And Jared Allen's a good player too.
So really the only person who I think can possibly be on the move is Caris LeVert, who's a...
He's an unrestricted free agent. They could just let him go.
They can, but they need shooting. They need three-point shooting.
You can do a sign-and-trade, but if that triggers the hard cap, you got to be careful because you got the new deal for Garland, and you still got Mitchell on. This sounds dumb, but at $32 million, I would say Donovan Mitchell's a discount. Is that fair to say?
He is a discount, but again, I don't think... You know, now we, you know, thankfully this is a point we could just sort of blow through this part of the gone fishings because a lot of these teams, there's what's the point? There's no moves you can make.
No, you know, get rid of Isaac Okoro, but who wants him?
He was the number four pick, I believe.
Yeah, that's a total bust. Sorry.
Yeah, and
Dean Wade was more valuable than freaking Isaac Okoro.
You know, like what, Shetty Osman, you're going to, that's the piece you can move. Like this is, you just have to, they were so good in the regular season. It was just like, oh man, it's a shame they crumbled so fast the way they did.
Yep.
But
they did have one silver lining in the new deal. They can actually have three maxes at one time and they might need that when Evan Mobley's deal comes up in a couple of years.
Well, that's a couple of years to worry about. So now they're just saying they don't, you know, their first round picks. Who could they possibly draft? All their guys are young enough.
We said this with Minnesota. I said this when the trade happened with Rudy. They got 2 years. This one for Cleveland, they got 3 years. Year one didn't do much. So now this is the second. So they're kind of in that middle ground. It's like, can you pull it off? But they got another year after this. Like there's some wiggle room. Donovan Mitchell got how many points in a game? 71.
Yeah.
You know, like he's amazing. He's an amazing player, but geez, like he's got to pass more. He's got to pass more. He averaged 4 fucking assists a game.
Yep. That is just crazy. All right. Moving on real quickly. Milwaukee. They got old fast.
Well, they had the best record in the league, man. They were 58-24. And then an absolute, like, it was just like 2020 in the bubble. An absolute belly flop against the Miami Heat. Now, yes, Giannis got hurt. And he may have played hurt after that. But they looked lost. Their defense, which was the strong point of their team for a good portion of the beginning of the season, it fell completely apart. Like in the playoffs, like Miami was butchering them on defense. They looked old and creaky.
They just looked old. Their team unfortunately revolves around Middleton.
Mm-hmm.
His $40 million contract just puts him over the tax line again, and
fans got to understand this. Like, when it comes to expiration dates with how effective a team is, it's like milk. It tastes good the one day, and it tastes like crap after.
It comes because you have Giannis making his max deal. You got
which he deserves, absolutely. In fact, he's underpaid.
Middleton's at 40. Drew Holiday in his 35 million.
Do you think there's any chance Middleton opts out of the 40 million? I would say no.
No. But okay. That's why if he does for a bigger deal, like, what do you do with it? Like, you have to find, like, you might just have to ship off Drew Holiday for some younger pieces.
Or sign in. Well, you know what? I take that back. A sign and trade is not possible. They're too deep into the tax.
They're too deep. You know, Brook Lopez, I don't think they have money for him either.
And that would be a shame, because that man was a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. He's a very good. I cannot believe how good Brook Lopez still is. Especially watching Robin, you know?
We know who the better twin is. So
right. Bobby Portis is into his new deal, and he's a good player. He's a good six man. Is he Team USA material? No. But,
well, that's who's left on Team USA non-Olympic right. material.
Kate Crowder didn't do much with him at all in the playoffs. You
know? No, because he sat off the whole season, and he looked rusty, and he didn't fit in, and it was just one of those, like, we hoped we get vintage Jay, and we got just
what Jay. I'm just curious about with the Bucks is, like, what changes between, like, February and March and then April? Like, that's what I don't get. Like, they just get on the struggle bus, and it's like, you shouldn't. You should be dominant. You have the most dominant player in the league, you know?
Yeah, I know, but
the Lakers were the opposite. The Lakers would lollygag in the regular season with Shaq and just fucking kill people in the postseason, you know?
But, unfortunately, now the front office has some urgency of how do we keep this relevant, and that's the running joke.
I'll tell you what it is. They have a new owner part of the mix because one of them sold out or cashed out. Now you have to explain to the new owner, yes, this team that just lost in the first round in five games is worth spending extra luxury tax.
Well, that's why sort of the running gag is that's why the owner cashed out, because he knows, much like, you know, what's his name in Golden State? Oh yeah, I see the end is coming real soon. The window is closing. I need to jump out.
Anytime before. There's a loss, they make a big change. I guess the big change was the coach. And who did they bring in?
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin, who's been a longtime assistant with, like, Thibodeau in Chicago, and I think he was with the Raptors under Nick Nurse for a long time. In fact, I thought Nick Nurse was going to get the job for a while. I wouldn't be shocked if they shipped away Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton at the same time.
They have to do something.
They got to add something, and they have to unload in order to add. Yes. But Giannis is still phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like 31, 12, and 6.
That's the thing. As long as he stays healthy, you can ride him for a while.
I think they need to slow it down. I think they need to go back to the Stone Age. I think they need to slow it down.
They got a new coach. He's going to install a new system. And as long as Giannis buys into the new system, they go as far as Giannis.
I highly doubt they didn't ask Giannis about Adrian.
he gave his blessing.
Right.
So Giannis picked his coach. So hopefully, you know, that he buys into the system and everything, and we're good to go. So finally, we're going to wrap up with a feel good story. Okay. Just all great. We had mentioned this prior with the biggest win-win trade in a long time. Everything was simplified. Everyone knew their role. Everyone was happy. Sacramento Kings.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Even though they went out in the first round to Golden State, who Golden State had to come back to beat
that
them.
That was one of the funnest first round series in a long time. Yeah.
So this was just a great story. I mean, it was, everyone's like, well, why are you building around De'Aaron Fox? Halliburton's good. It's like, oh, well, this is why. Without Halliburton, Fox thrived.
He was a phenomenal. He was great. He was all NBA along with Sabonis.
Sabonis was great.
Sabonis definitely wasn't all NBA because now he's Supermax extension eligible, just like Jaylen Brown.
So they can't really tinker too much, right? Barnes is sort of
the only part is that you just said it, Harrison Barnes, because he's an unrestricted free agent. Like, that's the one they can play with. But they are, I think they're just, here's the problem. they're below the tax line, but when they have to, if they have to kick in a new deal for Sabonis, and that kind of like gets rid of that, and then they're into the tax, you know. So they're kind of like what the Hawks were a couple of years ago, where it's like, oh, we got a good team now, we got to keep the nucleus. So
yeah, it's just another year of run it back. And obviously, I think whether it's going to set themselves up for disappointment, because there's always that letdown, and now that there's expectations.
Malik Monk for MLE was one of the best signings of the offseason, like one of the best. Did you like Keegan Murray?
His shooting wasn't really there, but he was, you just come in and be that fifth man and don't be.
His 3-point field goal percentage was poor, but his 3-point field goal percentage was good. His overall was bad, but I think he made more threes than any rookie in NBA history. Am I right?
Something like that. But it was like, he just, you know, if you're playing those minutes, if you're forced to start, don't be worse. Don't make the team worse. And nobody on that team really did. So, again, It just goes with what you do with Harris and Barnes, who I think they can move on from him.
Yeah, and there's no shame in losing to the defending champions in a 7-game war. Like, that it is what it is. The bench, they do have room here to, like, change that completely if they want to, especially if they can move Rashawn Holmes, who really had no spot in under Mike Brown's system. But, like, Lyles, Alex Len, Terrence Davis, Metu, like, if you want to keep them, you can, but you don't have to.
Oh yeah, plus they're also supposed to be bringing in the EuroLeague Player of the Year, Venzikov.
Okay, yeah, one of those ones, like, I know what you're talking about. Like, that's what happened with Bogdan. Bogdan kind of like snuck in that way into the NBA.
Yep, he was there, and all of a sudden, I don't want to say he took the NBA by storm, but he was solidly efficient from
the moment he started playing. People realized how good he was. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. With that, I think we are good with this round.
Yes, we are really good with this round. But after that, we kind of get to the nitty gritty, like teams that made it or teams that thought they had a shot in it and it didn't come to fruition. But it's just a shame that the Bucks wound up falling as far as they did. It's just, they had the best record in the league. It was unbelievable. But that's how falls.
That's how it goes. So for Andrew Reich, I'm Adam Murray. Have a good one.
Take care.